What's up, guys? Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. In today's episode, I'm joined with one of Max's top 10 finalists, Steve Glenn. Steve, welcome to the Challenge Podcast.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Mate, I'm so excited to finally get a chance to chat with you here, but I must say, you have the coolest name going around.
I could say the same about you.
Now, Steve, just a couple of days ago, you found out that you were in the top 10 of the Max's Challenge. How has the past couple of days been for you?
Yeah, well, my mum actually flew down from Queensland for a visit, finally, after many, many months. And I had a work event, and I came home from the work event, and I jumped on the live Facebook, and yeah, I watched it all unfold. It was great. I had all my kids surrounding me, and you know, when they announced me in the top 10, everyone sort of celebrated, and my wife took a photo, and it was great. Yeah, I'm not going to lie and say when it came to the final three, you know, you sort of anticipate, and can it happen, can it not? But just to be in the top 10 out of, you know, thousands of people that entered was an awesome feeling. And I guess it's, you know, it's, at the end of the day, you still win regardless of where you finish in this, if you complete it or if you have a crack at it. The last few days since I've, you know, it's probably given me more motivation to keep going and to, you know, keep fit, keep motivated, not just about the 12 weeks. It's now what's going to happen afterwards. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, mate, you know, looking at your transformation, it's so inspiring to see, and I'm sure you've inspired so many people within your circles and then within our online communities to live a healthier life. And for that, I thank you and a big congratulations for making the top 10. Now, Steve, the first question here is talking about why you chose to start the challenge. So could you tell us a little bit of story about maybe why you chose to start this challenge? And I believe you previously tried to start a challenge in the past. And maybe you could talk about why you chose to start that first challenge as well.
So I actually used to be a really fit kid, teenager, young adult, extremely fit, mind you. And I was playing a lot of football, had a lot of injuries. And as you get older and injuries get worse, they took their toll at quite an early age. And I had to retire from football quite early, and my knees had got really no good. I had a lot of operations, and I started getting unfit, and they started to pile up. And I got to a weight that I wasn't happy with looking at, more so than the actual number on the scale. And I think it was early last year, around January last year, I actually entered a different challenge through a friend of mine who had done it, and I lost 25 kilos in 12 weeks. And I think that was great because it showed me what I could do, what you can do, anyone can do in a short amount of time if you really dedicate yourself. And I did the challenge. I held that weight off for quite some time, stayed relatively fit throughout all of last year. And then at the end of last year, the knees came back with vengeance, and I had four operations at the end of last year on my knees, one being quite severe in December, which was actually a broken leg along with the knee operation. And I guess with coming out of that, those operations into the start of this year, and then COVID coming along, it just all weighed down on me again, and the weight started to pile on again. All of a sudden, we're not allowed out of our homes. We are Uber eating. I'm having a wine every night to take the edge off. And I decided to enter the competition, the Max's Challenge, in, I believe, May. Is that correct? I believe it's May. And I just think with everything that was going on, you know, and where I was situated in life, I started it. I did about a week or two, and then one thing led to another, and I found myself falling out of it. And I think I'm very competitive in a way where I think if I fall too far behind, it's not that I give in. I set myself to get ready for the next one. And I got to about 92 kilos, and the September challenge came along, and a friend of mine from work, he said he wanted to do it. So I said, let's do it. And we both entered. And as I said to you before, I'm very competitive. So when it came to doing it, I was strict. I had my birthday in the middle of the challenge, no drinks, no bad food, no cake. And yeah, I was very pleased to say that with 8 weeks of the 12, there was no gyms available. I don't have a home gym set up. So I didn't really have a lot I could do but get out there and walk. And yeah, you know, I can't run. So it was just pretty much just cardio and diet. And yeah, I was able to do it again. I think I lost 15 kilos this time, I was ecstatic with. And now, again, it's now what can I do afterwards as I did last year with hopefully no operations this time around and keeping the diet on check.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. That's an amazing story there, Steve. I'm a little bit to unpack. And I guess what you kind of told us is a little bit of a story that is quite common when we speak to challengers in that we may have been fit and active when we were younger. We're in our teens, we're in our 20s, we're playing lots of sport, we're being active. But then life gets in the way and our priorities change, where we may start having children, we start being more focused on our career and our job, and that weight slowly starts to creep on over time. And maybe you get to a point where you kind of stop exercising to the same intensity, or even just stop exercising completely, and you start enjoying a glass of wine here or there. And maybe situations change where maybe you start having more Uber Eats and takeout and such, and we just kind of notice things start to pile on. But my question to you, and you've kind of alluded to it a little bit, was I'm interested to know what that moment was when you decided to make a change. And you've kind of mentioned how surgery kind of came in and you noticed that you were a little bit overweight and you weren't really happy with the way that your body looked. But was there a specific moment where you might have caught yourself in the mirror and you're like, oh, Steve, we've got to do something about this? Or was it a comment maybe from one of your children or something that kind of said something and that kind of triggered a thought in your head? Was there like a moment that really began this change for you from the inside, and then the body followed afterwards?
I think as we get older and we slow down a bit and it's harder to keep the weight off, because mm-hmm. you see yourself every day, you don't really notice those changes until it's probably too late. So as I alluded to before, 2019, I did a challenge and I was nearly hit triple figures, and I saw a photo of myself and I went, nah, I've got to do something about it. And I saw how lean I could get. I got down to like 73 kilos, you know, full six pack, and I was loving life. I went over to Bali and comfortable, get my shirt off. Actually, I didn't want to put my shirt on. It was a really good feeling. But then as 2020 hit and I got to that stage again around the middle of the year, I think I looked at myself and went, I remember what I was last year, or towards the end of last year, had I let this happen? Mm-hmm. So again, it switched on to say, I need to do something about it. And I've listened to a few podcasts, I've listened to a few people talk and talk about keeping it private and not about me on social media, where I'm a little bit the opposite, Steve. I put it out there because it keeps me accountable. If I put it out there and I share a photo of me at my worst, then I've got to keep going and I've got to, and mind you, I do love when people start asking me questions, what am I doing? Because I know that I'm influencing other people. My friend got me involved, saw him transform, and I said to him, what are you doing? How are you doing it? I now train with his trainer, and his trainer is unbelievable. He's kept me accountable for nearly 2 years now, and he trains a lot of people now that have seen me transform have now reached out to him. So I put it out there on social media. I've got my Instagram page that's just around the fitness, and I love when people are asking me questions because it means that they're now wanting to make a change in their life. Mm-hmm. So that's, I guess, they're the points that have made me want to change, and then how I've gone about changing and keeping myself accountable by doing that. And I still can go back into my early Instagram photos and look at those photos and think, I don't want to be there again.
Yeah. So it's like that motivation to not kind of go back to where you were. I find it really interesting when we talk about social media, because you're right, there are that two sides of the fence where some might look at lots of photos online where maybe guys are shirtless or flexing, or, you know, girls are in their underwear and flexing and those types of things. And we can look at it both ways, where one, it could be inspiring, or two, it could be a little bit, oh, I don't want to be seeing this all the time. But I think when you look past what other people think of you and about the effects that it has on yourself, we find that those who are most active on our forums, on our Facebook group, on Instagram, we see those people making the biggest transformations. And I have a theory that it is about accountability, where you are putting it out to the universe, right? That this is how I look now. This is a change I want to make. And you're putting energy towards that change, and you're starting to be accountable to something bigger, something that you might not know exists, this social realm online that you don't know who's looking at you. Then you almost feel like, oh, well, I need to make a change because I've put it out there. And I guess we see it within our statistics down to those who go private versus those who go public in the challenge. And we look at completion rates of those who went private and public, and who got in the top 50, who got in the top 10. And I guess the competition, you have to be public to be in the top 10 and top 50. But we find that almost twice the amount of people who go public complete the challenge than those who go private. And maybe that's because those who go private aren't really putting themselves out there to be accountable to make that change. And maybe they're hiding behind something, you know, imaginary, to be like, oh, well, maybe I can fall off and no one's going to tell me off for falling off. But you kind of go public, again, no one's going to tell you off for falling off, but you've kind of put it yourself out there going, hey, I need to make this change because I posted a photo of myself online where I might be slightly overweight and unhappy with the way I look. But then we find that those people make these mass transformations. Maybe you felt that same way where you were posting these things online only for yourself. Sure, other people would look at it, but you're putting it out there to the universe. And then that triggers this big change. Did you notice those types of things happening and, you know, people asking you those questions? And what did it feel like when you noticed those change happening and then people coming in asking you for advice? What was that like?
It was amazing. You know, when I first started doing the challenge, my mate said to me, change or do an Instagram profile. I like the format of Instagram more because it's just about the photos and your story more so than the comments and the keyboard worrying, sort of not my forte. So I started a new Instagram page and I thought rather than transform my personal one, because that was more about my family, my kids and that, but I ended up setting up the Instagram page for my fitness, Fit Dad, being a dad, and it's important that being a dad is an inspiration. So I did the Fit Dad SG Instagram page to promote just my fitness. And so there are quite a lot of my personal friends who'd follow that, but more so just people from the fitness industry, people who have picked it up through the way and followed my story. And I get quite a lot of private messages asking me what I'm eating, what am I doing? How do you do that? Because people try and do it and they probably lose weight in a more sustainable way, a lot less over a longer period of time. But I love it when people are asking me what I'm eating, what I'm doing, because I do it very simple. I'm very much a caveman, Steve. Just eating the really, I like to eat plain. I don't like the fancy stuff. For me, eating steak every night is easy. I love it. Steak and veggies. I just love it. Now, you asked me to go out for my birthday dinner. Let's go out for a steak. So that sort of stuff was easy for me. And so I started the Instagram page to push that forward to say, this is what I'm doing. I've got no problem sharing people with what I'm eating online. I do find it awkward doing videos. I'm not that comfortable with them. But I've tried to do a few along the way just to show people what I'm doing, how I'm doing it. And if you want to follow, jump on board, because it is life-changing. It is great to feel fit. My kids, I had some of my posts, my kids lifting weights with me and doing push-ups with them on my backs and getting out. And I'm going to do my first triathlon in 21 years. And they're going to come and watch. And my eldest daughter, she says to me, can you do the run, Dad? I said, well, I'm not supposed to, but I will be able to. I'm also 20 kilos lighter than when I wasn't able to run. So all those things is important to me. And that's why I started it. The messages are just, I guess, a bonus to what I've been able to achieve.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that story. And I think what tends to happen is when we go through these fitness transformations, we end up becoming an ambassador, I guess, of fitness, right? Where now we've kind of passed on the mantle and now you've got the beacon and you're promoting fitness to people. And fitness can be anything from going for a walk. Fitness could be, you know, doing deadlifts and squats and all the fun things. It could be swimming and going for triathlons and these endurance events. And it sounds like that's exactly what you've become. You've become an ambassador for fitness and health and promoting that through social media. And I'm sure you're promoting that through the people you interact with day to day. And it's a little bit of a responsibility now. You've got to almost take on that label of being, hey, I'm the fitness guy now. You know, that's my identity, right? And you can almost use that as a positive way for yourself, because once you've establish that identity within you, you go, well, okay, now I'm the fitness guy. I enjoy salads and steaks and I enjoy going for walks and doing exercise and being active with my kids and being a good role model. And that compounds over time, which is exciting to see. Now, Steve, the next question here is about challenges. So every person, when they're completing a fitness journey, faces unique challenges. So could you speak a little bit about some of the challenges that you had to overcome maybe over the past 12 weeks while completing the Max's Challenge, how you overcame them, so that you can achieve the amazing result that you did?
Challenges, there's many of them, Steve. Being from Victoria, COVID-19 took its huge toll. I've been lucky enough to have had a job the entire time, not like a lot of other people, but working from home, I'm here in my office at home at the moment, which is in my bedroom. So I'd wake up in the morning, I'd have a shower. I wouldn't leave the bedroom. I'd go for breakfast or a walk, but I'd come back to the bedroom. I'd be here for 8 hours, and then I'd try and get out in the middle of the day when I could. I work in sales, so it's a little bit, you can't plan too far ahead because things come up, meetings come up. So the mental aspect of it was the further it went on, the harder it got. I found myself sort of not second guessing myself, but finding it hard to motivate myself. And luckily I have an amazing wife who sort of really backed me, and you know, along with the kids, and you see them every day and you think, well, I've got to keep going. My knees, as I alluded to before, I've had a lot of issues with my knees. I've got no cartilage in my medial, like the meniscus are gone on both knees. Mm-hmm. I looked at having to have a knee replacement last year at 37, which was way too young to have one. So I ended up having an osteotomy where they broke my leg and straightened it. Mm-hmm. But that was a long recovery process. So doing a lot of walking. Mm-hmm. Saying that, I put the headphones in. I listened to someone like David Goggins, and then you can't stop, because if that guy doesn't stop, there's not much you have to stop for. So pushing through those challenges, there was a few things with the lockdown that made it hard. I'm not going to lie about that. As soon as I was allowed to get to a gym, and a lot of the people that did the challenge probably know exactly my feeling here. It was amazing. It was like just you're taking this a heavy blanket off your back and allowed you to just spread your wings and get to the gym and lift weights and release that energy. So it's a different feeling than just going for a walk. That's great for clearing your head, but gym is releasing energy in it. I don't spend a lot of time in the gym, but when I'm in there quick and hard. So for me, it was great.
Yeah, I think lockdown, you know, really hit us all in different ways. And I think there's really two ways you can look at it. You can look at it as a very negative thing that happened to us in 2020, or you could look at it from a way of a learning tool, or maybe the positives around it. So maybe you got to spend a little bit more time with your family. Maybe you got to spend a little bit of time away from home, not commuting, those sorts of things. For me, I've been training at home, just like you. I was lucky enough to score some equipment. So for me, I've been experimenting with different ways of training. And if anything, I actually haven't gone back to the gym. I've just been training from home. I think this year has been all about learning and discovering something new, which I guess leads me on to my next question, which is about learning. So my question to you, over the course of doing this challenge and then the previous challenge and then even your challenge that you did last year, could you speak a little bit about some things that you might have learned about maybe your body, maybe about nutrition, maybe about training? Can you speak a little bit about some things that you might have learned over this transformation period in completing these challenges?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've learned a fair bit, to be honest, but it's sort of things that are quite hard to put into words. And they're more things that you just feel now, you know. I don't count calories. If I started doing that, I would never enjoy it and I'd probably end up falling off. Some people love it. They love that sort of sharpness and I've got to eat this amount. I now know what I'm eating and sort of around about where it sits with me and what I have to do if I still want to lose weight or if I want to maintain or if I want to put on a little bit of muscle. So when I'm indulging in something like my kryptonite, a donut, I love donuts. Mm. And I think I spoke about it with a few people as far as my challenge reward. And I know if I have a donut, what I've got to do either to burn it, to compensate with other food, what I'm not going to eat. Mm-hmm. But just knowing whereabouts I sit, and I've learned that over the time of my meals, as I said, are very basic. I don't like a lot of the fancy stuff. So I just have the plain egg whites and chicken and rice and steak and veggies and a bit of snack in between. But I sort of know where I'm sitting, depending on how much work I do during the day as far as exercise. I've learned what exercise I can do to avoid injury, where I used to just go to the gym and do the same old thing. I go to the gym now and I never do the same training session, always different. It's a little bit of a combination between a little bit of CrossFit-y, sort of high intensity training, but it's not full blown because of my body can't sustain doing a CrossFit workout. My knees are no good. Not the right word, because I can still do a lot of exercises, but that impact stuff on the knees I can't do. So I've learned as far as my body goes, I can go out for a 10, 15K walk, which is my normal now. But if I go for a 3K run, I'm going to feel it the next day. So just knowing where I sit, and everyone will learn that about themselves the more that they do. You're not going to know it without, I guess, working your way through it, working your way through the maze. I believe now doing two challenges that I know my way through the maze relatively well. Mm-hmm. I'm still learning. My trainer, he's always keeping me in check and we're always trying new things, but I've got a fair understanding now. And I was very lucky. And you talk about the positives out of 2020 with COVID. In the middle of our two lockdowns, I moved to Maribyrnong in Victoria and I'm back onto the river now. Mm-hmm. So I walk out of my back door onto the walking track around the river. So if anything, the positives out of 2020 is it forced me to get to a spot where exercise is just at my doorstep. Mm-hmm. And I do so much more of it because of it. And those sort of exercises are great for me. I know if I want to lose some body fat, walking is the best. Go out and walk. when I go out and walk, I walk. I don't just go for a 1, 2, 3K walk. I go out for 10K minimum.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great way to clear my head. Mm-hmm. Feel great, and I get back and I feel amazing. So yeah, that's what I've learned during these 2 years, mm-hmm. and also implementing what I've learned in the past. I was a personal trainer back in the early 2000s over in London. Yeah, I haven't done it for many, many years, so I'm not, you know, all rounded anymore, but I have a basic idea of training methods, and mm-hmm. yeah, that's what I've learned.
Yeah, I like that. I like it where you're completely right. Fitness is a journey, or exercise is a journey. This body transformation is a journey, and it can take a little bit of time, a little bit of experimenting, a little bit of trial and error to find out what, one, works well in your body, but then two, what you enjoy. And in the challenge, I guess we try to promote certain principles of training, but that doesn't mean that you can't do other things. We like to promote resistance training or structured resistance training, where we're repeating exercises over again to get better at them. That's one method. And you've suggested that you go to the gym and do maybe a different training program every time, maybe a little bit more CrossFit, high intensity style. That's totally fine, because you know that it works for you and you're getting really great results for your body, which is this process that can take a little bit of time, a little bit of patience, a little bit of experimentation, and a little bit of taking a step back so you can step forward, right? Taking on that beginner's mindset where you go, hey, actually, I'm going to try this new thing and be a good beginner and see if it works for me. Well, it didn't work. I'm going to try this next thing, right? And it's a little bit of trial and error. And I love what you said about being aware of our food intake, because you're right. Like, sometimes counting calories suck. And it really does. And it's very methodical. It's very like numbers based. And it's something that we just don't like to do long term. But being calorie aware is really powerful, where you go and look at your meal and being like, okay, well, this is a higher calorie intake food than I had yesterday for dinner. Okay, maybe the next dinner I have tomorrow, I'm going to have a slightly lower calorie intake. And that doesn't mean that you need to have 534 calories per meal. But if you start looking at meals and you're going, hey, this is getting close to 1,000 calories, maybe I should pull it back a little bit. Or if you're having a snack and it's a slice of cake and you go, well, I know that slice of cake is about 500 calories. I can either have a slice of cake or a steak later today. What am I going to choose? I love that steak, right? So lots of great gems there, Steve. I really like that.
I would say, Steve, that I do look at the foods that I enjoy now, and I do look for the healthier alternative.
Mm-hmm.
There's a brownie mix that you can buy where there are 100 calories per big slice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, that's so much better than the full-blown 500 to 1,000 calories.
Yeah.
And because I love that and mm-hmm. I have that bit of a sweet tooth, I do look down that path where I can indulge but feel better about indulging.
Yeah.
And on the fitness side of it, as you just said, yeah, I looked at all the programs that came out and I picked little pieces out of it. But I'm not one of those guys that likes to spend 2 hours in the gym. Like, and some people do, and that's great, because mm-hmm. everyone is different. You're different to me. I'm different to the next person. I like going to the gym, but I don't like being in. I'm a dad of three kids, and I work in sales, and I feel like I don't have enough hours in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to get in the gym, and I like to get out. And to do that, I've got to train hard and fast. And my reasons for fitness, so why I train, everyone has a why I train.
Mm-hmm.
Why I train is to get in, train hard, get out. And if I'm not sweating, I don't feel like I sort of got what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some people like to get in there, train very slow, spend 2 hours. Some people like to go to the gym and just talk to their mate and interact. Yeah. And that's fine, because they're in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
So why I train, why you train, why the next person trains, they're all different,
mm-hmm.
but they're still training. And I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we kind of go through that journey, right? Where the beginning, we might be training because of a physical reason. We want to lose weight or to look good naked or look good with our shirt off, those types of things. But then it slowly transitions where we might start training for our health. We might start training for our well-being. We might start training for our mental well-being. And it sounds like, you know, you're really using exercise and training as this like physical outlet, where, you know, you go to the gym, you're in and out, you're getting sweaty, you feel good, you got these endorphins released, and you're like, okay, I'm refreshed. Now I can go home and be a better dad. I can go to work and be a better salesman. You know, you could do these things. So using fitness to be better for your life, where some people might use fitness purely for entertainment. And I'm one of them. I'm one to go in the gym and I'm chatting to all the people and making friends with everybody. You know, I'm going to my garage gym now and I'm playing around with different exercises. And 2 hours later, I'm like, oh, geez, I should go do something else. But yeah, you're right. You know, everybody has a different why, and that's okay. If you have a different why to what I have, you have a different why to what you have, and that's totally, totally fine. Now, Steve, the last question here is all about advice. So maybe you have people asking you already for advice, but if someone came to you and they were maybe starting the next challenge, or they wanted to get, you know, fit and healthy and to start a fitness journey themselves, what advice would you give that person?
Probably the biggest one, Steve, would be accountability. Get someone like yourself, whether it be a mentor, a trainer, your father, your wife, someone to keep you accountable. Reach out to someone online. Reach out to me and say, you know, can you keep me accountable? Because when you're held accountable and you don't want to let people down, you follow through. And it's like if you go to the gym once and you come out and you give a flex, there's no bicep showing. We all want things quickly. We all want to go into the gym, do one workout, do a flex, and there's a big bicep, right? Mm-hmm. But it's just not how it happens. And because you look at yourself every day, and when you start doing these transformations, you're going to look in the mirror nearly every day. Mm-hmm. It's hard to not jump on the scales every day and not be let down when you don't see a lot of change immediately. So having someone that keeps you accountable to say, stick to the process, that was what was so great about the Facebook group. And that was the biggest thing for me in the Maxis Challenge, was the Facebook community, because everyone got on there and asked questions. People get on there and say, I put on weight this week. Am I doing the wrong thing? And so many people get around you when you do that. Mm-hmm. And they give their little bits of advice. I'm not one person to give too much advice because I'm no expert. Mm-hmm. But I have a relatively good idea. But I would find an expert like yourself. I have my own trainer who's amazing. And he trains some pretty high-end people. And I'm not one of those high-end people. But he gives me the respect that I want. And he keeps me accountable. And if I've got questions, I ask him. But one of the things that you say through the whole time, and a lot of people say, and he says to me all the time, stick to the process, because at the end, you'll be amazed. And you don't really see these small changes for a long period of time, but then all of a sudden, bang, you see yourself and go, geez, like I can start to see some abs, or hey, I can start to, you know, my muscles are looking bigger, or depending on what your goal is. Mm-hmm. Now, my goal was to get lean. I like a beach body. I don't want to be super muscly. And, you know, those first few weeks, you're going, geez, there's not a lot of change happening, you know. Mm-hmm. But there is. But you're seeing yourself every day. Mm-hmm. So I got to the point where I was trying not to jump on the scales until the very next week, a whole week. Mm-hmm. And it's nerve-wracking. You get on the scales, I hope it drops. Mm-hmm. But if it doesn't drop, don't stress, because it's not about the scales. Mm-hmm. It's about the mirror, because that's what I'm ultimately going for. Mm-hmm. So for me, the biggest advice is the accountability. Someone, preferably someone who's educated, someone that's experienced and knows what you want. Mm-hmm. People need to do their own thing to keep them on track. You know, I don't know if you watched the Michael Jordan documentary, but, you know, Phil Jackson talks about the Bulls and their era of dominance. And some people had a little bit more leeway and a little bit different rules because it's what made them succeed. You know, Dennis Rodman was allowed to go to Vegas and go wild, but then he'd come out and he'd perform. Now, some people, to say, you know, my line of business, they network, they go to events, you know, having a beer with someone is important. How can we get around it, and how can we navigate you to still get your goals, but don't lose who you are? Mm-hmm. So find someone to keep you accountable, but also have the knowledge to point you in the right direction.
Yeah. I love it.
That's, I hope that answers the question. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great advice. I love that. Look, Steve, let's wrap it up there, mate. I want to thank you so much for being part of the Challenge podcast and donating some of your time to be part of the podcast. And, you know, I just want to take a moment to congratulate you on an amazing transformation. And, you know, thank you for now being an ambassador of fitness, you know, promoting fitness and health to, you know, everybody around you online and, you know, the people in your circles. So for that, I thank you and a big congratulations for making the top 10.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me. Jump on Instagram and follow me and follow my journey. And hopefully I can follow yours.
What's the handle on Instagram again?
FitDadSG. Only positive people, please. But no, jump on. And yeah, I'll follow your journey. I like to get around people. We're all in it for the same reason, mate. We're all in there to be happy, get fit, enjoy being us in our own skin.
Love it. So good. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Steve. Thank you to everyone at Max's, because if it wasn't for, you know, the challenge, you know, I don't know what I would have done this year. And we all know how hard the year was. So I do appreciate being part of it. And it was great to be in the top 10.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.